O Lord, our God, our Father and our King, we bless your holy and your righteous name. We give you glory and honor. We exalt your name above the heavens and offer you our worship and our sincere praise. We thank you for this moment, God. We thank you for the opportunity for us to gather all throughout this land to worship you in this place. We pray, O God, for your sanctifying presence to be with us at this moment. We pray, O God, that your word of creation would create for us a newness and a freshness of life. That because of this moment, we will find perspective, hope, dream, life. We pray, O God, that salvation will reign supreme in these words, and that your presence may be felt and your name exalted. We thank you for this time, and we sanctify it with our sincere and earnest praise. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Close to thee, Lord, close to thee. Amen. Good morning, my family. Once again, we find ourselves in this beloved and sanctified space. Space reserved for worship of our God. At one time, we felt that the sanctified presence of God in worship could only be experienced within the confines of these walls. But with this new normal upon us, God has expanded his walls, and we have literally become a church without walls. We're grateful that you have gathered with me this morning. And we pray up until this moment that your lives have been richly blessed by what has proceeded. We now want to give you God's holy word for this season in our lives. And to do that, we're going to look at Isaiah 55 and 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your words my words, declares the Lord. I believe it was October of 1992 where I clearly heard the Lord tell me that my time was up at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. It was revealed to me one Sunday morning in worship, just before I was about to preach. Taking my text, the Lord spoke to me, and I realized that he was calling me to another field of labor. God spoke clearly to my heart, and I knew that my time, my season was up. There are very few times in my life that I can clearly say that I know that God spoke to me. I know a lot of you guys can think or say that you have experienced God's voice clearly, but as it relates to me, there are very few times in my life where I absolutely know that God has spoken outside of his word. And I heard his voice. I say voice, though it was inaudible. It was a voice that was unmistakably clear. And when it resonated within my soul, immediately without doubt, I knew that that piercing thought was of God. There's been only a few times in my life that I had that experience. When God called me to salvation, I knew, first of all, that there was a God, and God spoke directly into my heart. When he called me into the ministry, absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, I knew what the rest of my life would involve. for he called me into the ministry. And then when he called me to go to my first pastorate at the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, I knew without a doubt, with the deep regions of my soul, that God had called me to serve at that beloved church in Thompson, Georgia. All of the times I simply followed God's word and I walked by God's Spirit. All of the times I just followed the inspirational impulse of the Holy Spirit, trusting that he was leading me and guiding me throughout my life. It was difficult to leave my first church. It was the hardest decision I ever had to make in my ministry. It was hard because we truly became a family in the purest sense of the word. And to this day, to this very day, over 27 years later, there still remains a strong bond between us. When it was revealed that my time was up, my mind immediately went to Macon, Georgia. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, when I heard the voice of God say that your time, your season is up at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, my mind immediately flashed to Macon, Georgia. I didn't see a church, I didn't see a ministry, but I knew somehow that that would be my next destination of my field of labor. I had heard that there were two vacant churches there, and Mount Olive and Lizzie Chapel, and I wanted to go to Mount Olive, if I'm going to be honest with you. I was sure that it was where God was leading me. I believe this because I sent my resume in after the deadline, but when they saw my resume, the committee graciously allowed for me to be considered. I knew that it was God's will, because how often does that happen? When the committee has stopped taking in resumes, but then they see yours and right away they welcome you in. They extended an invitation to come, and I preached, and I received a warm reception by the members of the church and a wonderful response to my message. The chairman of the deacon ministry even said, just about guarantee that I would be the one who would be the next pastor at the Mount Olive Baptist Church. And when I left there, I was certain that they were already making arrangements to put my name on the marquee, announcing that I would be their next pastor. I knew that that was where I would be. I knew my time was up. That's how I knew that I would be there at Mount Olive, because God spoke to me and my mind flashed to Macon, Georgia, and they reopened the pulpit ministry so that they could receive my invitation. And I knew that I would be at Mount Olive Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. I was sure as I could ever be. But suddenly, all at once, my world was shattered into a million pieces when they told me that Reverend Gregory Fuller would be the next pastor and not Reverend Ronald G. Tony. I was totally confused. I was disappointed and emotionally let down. I know I heard God's voice telling me my time was up at Mount Pleasant. I know Macon, Georgia was the destination for God, for me to serve the Lord, but I didn't get to church and I was totally confused. But then I began to question myself. I know that I heard God speak to my soul, didn't I? It was unmistakably clear, just as it was in prior moments, wasn't it? Then I struggled with the grave realization. If what I experienced was not God, how could I ever trust that voice again? That voice never misled me before. That voice was always right. I never had the experience of being disappointed when I followed that voice. I, my sisters and brothers, was in a faith crisis. So being a young preacher, I needed somebody to talk to. So I scheduled an appointment with my pastor, Reverend Cameron Alexander. And let me just say here parenthetically that every young preacher needs a pastor. I arrived on the scheduled time, but he was running late. He told the staff to have me call him when I arrived, and I called him. He apologized and told me that if he wanted to reschedule, then it would be all right. And I told him, no, I'll wait. He finally arrived, and he apologized, and I said, no problem. I've waited longer for less important things. And we talked. We must have talked for close to an hour. And when I tell you that Reverend Alexander is a wise man, just let me say here that the half has not been told. I sat there in an appreciative sense of awe, and I listened. I was absorbing every word that fell from his lips. And then it happened. That voice again. Something he said bypassed my mind and rested firmly in my heart. There it was. I heard the voice. No, it was Reverend Alexander's voice, but God's words. And then it all made sense to me. What he said radically adjusted my perspective, and it forever changed my approach to life. It was just seven simple words. And these seven simple words gave me new life and new perspective. He said this, "You never know what God is doing." And that's what we want to talk about today. For those of you who perhaps are in a faith crisis as I was, because of the disorderedness of the world around us, I want to let you know that you never know what God is doing. I've heard many great sermons in my life, but very few have impacted my life as powerfully as those seven simple words, "You never know what God is doing." Are you listening? So today I want to pass these precious words on to somebody who may be in a faith crisis. Lord knows that there's a lot going on in the world that can shake even the strongest faith. But my prayer today is that these simple words will bless your life as much as they have blessed mine. You never know what God is doing. When you are in the throes of a faith crisis, my sisters or brothers, or in the throes of an attractive temptation, there are several things you need to be certain of to maintain your spiritual balance so that you don't fall. First of all, you must understand that God is always an active participant in the lives of his children. You may not see him, you may not feel him, you may not experience him as you have in the past, but I want you to know that God is always an active participant in the lives of his children. You may not hear him or experience him, but he is a God who keeps his promise. And one of the foundational promises of the relationship that we have with God is that he promised never to leave us. I've got a plaque hanging on our wall in the kitchen that I purchased at a small, beautiful Catholic church built on the Red Rock Mountains of Sedona, Arizona. And it says this, "Bidden or not bidden, God is present." Bidden or not bidden, God is present. Bidden is an old English word that means to invite, or to call. We see it in the classic hymn, "Just As I Am." It says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And here it is. "And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I bought that plaque, and hung it where I could see it every day as a constant reminder that God is always with me. Invited or not invited, God is with me. Aware or unaware, God is with me. I needed that constant reminder, that confirmation, because there are times that I don't experience the presence of God. Not because I've sinned, or not because I've become undisciplined in my faith walk, but because there are times when God chooses to lead us with his silence. And child of God, you can relieve yourself of a whole lot of anxiety and fear simply by remembering this sanctified truth. Invited or not invited, God is present. Even as you walk in those moments when the covering of God's protection seems to wear thin, you can know that aware or unaware, God is present. One of the hardest things to deal with as children of God is the silence of God, the hiddenness of God. Especially when you've heard God's voice and experienced his presence time and time again. But I've come to remind you, my sisters and brothers, that God's silence does not suggest God's absence. For God is always an active participant in the lives of his children. The next thing you need to know, and I want to remind you of, is that even when God is doing nothing, or let me say it this way, even when it seems as if God is doing nothing, God is up to something. So when this happens, there are some things that you need to do. When you pray and can't get an answer, when you come to worship and don't feel anything, when you continue to walk by faith but you don't have any unction, no inclination, no clue of what God wants you to do or where he wants you to go, I want you to do this one thing. I want you to recognize that this may be a time of preparation. Maybe God is silent because he wants you to work on yourself. Maybe God is silent because he has no further gifts to give you other than what he's already given to you. And you need to take the gifts that he's already given to you and utilize them and grow them into something that gives God greater glory and promise and future for your life. The worst thing you can do when you don't know what to do is to do nothing. So many people become frozen with indecision when God is silent. And I've come to tell somebody, don't be presumptuous to think what God is doing. Don't become presumptuous in your faith, assuming that God relates to you in the same ways in the future as he has in the past. No, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Too many ignorant and lazy Christians are waiting on God to do something for them that they should be doing for themselves. We are co-laborers in this field. We are called of God to follow him. There is energy and effort. There is passion. There is dream. There's all the things that we can do for ourselves. And when we follow God, God blesses our efforts. No, don't become so ignorant in your faith and lazy as Christians, waiting on God to do something for you while God is waiting for you to do something for yourself. Great musicians, athletes, doctors, lawyers, or whoever is successful in life, they are successful in life because they took the time to prepare themselves. And in this Christian walk, God gives opportunities to those who are prepared. Only ignorant and lazy Christians sit around for weeks, months, even years, waiting for an infusion of God's Holy Ghost to tell them what to do next, and it will never come. While you're waiting for direction, do something. While you're waiting to see what God is going to do next in your life, do something. Let me tell you a little secret. God always, and I might even say only, uses busy folk. Search out your Bibles and you will see how God always calls somebody who's busy doing something. So while you're waiting to hear from God, prepare yourself. Go back to school. Reestablish relationships with people who helped you make it this far. Take on a new challenge. Learn something new. Learn about who you are and who God has created you to be. Improve your skills, dream, and above all, spend more time with God in prayer and in study. When God chooses to do something, recognize it, my sister and my brother, as a time of preparation. Now, having said that, I want you to know that while you're preparing yourself, you need to wait on the Lord. You need to wait on the opportunity he brings. Yes, you prepare yourself while you're waiting. You dream while you're waiting. You seek higher dimensions of life while you're waiting. But don't you move until you hear a word from the Lord. You need to wait until God opens the door for you to move. You need to wait for the calm and assuring voice of God to speak confidently to your soul before you do anything. And while you're waiting, prepare yourself and get ready for the transition that will take you to the next level of your ministry. For even when you don't realize that God is doing something, God is up to something. I've learned a long time ago that you can do the right thing at the wrong time. And when you do the right thing at the wrong time, God ain't blessed. You don't have to force God's will. Just live your life in faithfulness to God and seek to mature and benefit your life with understanding and knowledge and experiences of faith and righteousness. And God will open the door. God will move you to where he wants you to be. God will establish you into the next phase of your ministry or your life. Faith and trust in God needs to mature to the next level of service. And the way that God matures us is to put us in situations where we have no choice but to walk by faith and not by sight. The great mystery of God's will is an ever-present reality in the lives of those God uses. We can never figure out the how, the why, and the when of God's will. Let me say that again. We can never figure out the how, the why, and the when of God's will until it's time. God may tell you what he wants you to do and never tell you how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, and why you should do it. That's why it says in Romans 1:17, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Our walk with God is from faith to faith. It is a daily experience. It is a daily walk with God. Everything that is done in the life of the child of God is a consequence of our faith. We walk, we live, we exist by faith. What we do or what we don't do, if we want the blessings of God in our lives, should always be a matter of faith, not a matter of convenience, not a matter of personal preference, but a matter of your faith. Every act, every decision, every choice should be a decision that is made as a consequence of our faith in an almighty God. The just, the righteous shall live by faith. And the challenge that we have as Christians is to diminish ourselves, to deny ourselves, to quit listening to the many voices that come into our heads, into our hearts, to crowd out the voice of God. But if you're going to be blessed, and if you want the blessings of God to overflow freely in your life, to find your purpose, your life, and your place in God, you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. If you want the confidence of God's presence, the just, the righteous must live by faith. And in those times when you have faithfully followed God's will and God's voice suddenly becomes silent, I come to tell you, don't freak out. Don't freak out as if something strange has happened to you. Just know that when God is doing nothing, or when it seems as if God is doing nothing, God is up to something. So prepare yourself. Get ready for God. For God ain't through with you yet. Praise his holy name. Someone said this about preparation. Failing to prepare. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. Another person says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. Someone else says, opportunity does not waste time with those who are unprepared. And could it not be said the same thing for us? That God doesn't waste his time on those who are not prepared. Yes, there are times in our lives where God meets our every need, where he answers our prayer, and he fills our hearts with intimate expressions of his love. These are the times when we worship God because of the many and wonderful expressions of his love. But there are also times, I call those times faith-perfecting times, when God surprises us with disappointment and unanswered prayers. These are times of confusion and doubt when we wonder as we wander. During these times of God's silence, know that if you're faithful and don't give in to the demon of impatience, nor to the self-delusion of your own importance, and know that God is up to something, you'll make it through. You'll be better for having gone through it. You'll discover a newness and a freshness of God. God will reveal his faithfulness. God will inform your soul that what you were going through was with purpose. And you'll appreciate your faith walk even the more as you come out of those times of silence and disorientation of life, the better for having gone through it. Know that God is preparing a place for you, not in the hereafter, but in the here and now. God does not save or call you for no thing. Jesus did not shed his blood for no thing. No. God saved all of us for a special place and time that is ripe with purpose and meaning and filled with life's greatest blessings. Just as Joseph kept faith when thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, sentenced falsely to prison, he continued to prepare himself. He never gave up on his faith. And with every experience, he matured and grew until he was ready for the prepared place that God had for him. He remained faithful to God. He continued growing in excellence and grace. He did not become discouraged by the silence of God. But he held on to his dream and never lost hope. And because he remained faithful, God was also working behind the scenes, preparing for the time and the place and the people that Joseph would rise up, because it was his appointment with God's destiny. He didn't know what God was doing, but he trusted God faithfully nonetheless. And though he did not know what God was doing at the time of his persecutions, when his brothers sold him into slavery, he did not know what God was doing. He did not know what God was doing and the plan that God has for his life when Mrs. Potiphar falsely accused him of attempted rape and he was thrown into prison. He did not know what he was doing when he was forgotten by his friend. But when he arrived to the place God was preparing for him, a place of royalty, a place of authority, a place of honor, only then could he see what God was doing. And he gave God glory, grace, and majesty for his faithfulness. Only then could he see the blessing in the pain, the beauty in the agony, the clarity in the confusion. Only then could he look in the faces of his brothers that he hated and despised, those brothers that betrayed him. And he could look in their faces now that he understood what God was doing and said this: "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." I've come to remind somebody and to encourage others that though God remains silent in your time of greatest need, and though the mystery of God's will kind of confuses you and takes you beyond the realm of reality, I want you to know that God loves you and that God ain't through with you yet. I know that I'm talking to somebody who loves God, but ain't nothing happening. You're sincerely faithful, but ain't nothing happening. You got a call on your life. You have a direction, a vision, a dream for your life, but ain't nothing happening. You look around and see persons of lesser skill and commitment, and they seem to be doing all right. You refuse to become fat as you stay true to your faith. You don't jump in with the bandwagon with those who are insincere and faddish in their Christian experience, because you are staying true to the inner voice of your calling. But ain't nothing happening. I want you to know this, that the day is coming when God will find you and take you to where he wants you to be. I want you to know this day that there is a greatness of faith in your soul, a faith that knows before it's possible to know, a faith that sees beyond the distractions and the illusions of a misguided world, a faith that grows in weakness, a faith that sees beyond the shadows of despair, a faith that orients you in the midst of a world of disorientation. Your faith is a faith that reaches through the darkness and the confusion of your situation and finds God. It is you to whom I'm speaking to. It is you to whom God is delivering this message. You are growing weary in well-doing. You are becoming disenchanted with the shallowness of the church, and you are searching for a deeper meaning and purpose in God. You have a God consciousness, but you don't know what to do with it. You are aching in your soul and have a thirst for something more than what's going on in your life. To you, I say, you never know what God is doing. And so my advice to you, my sister, and my brother, keep searching. But at the same time, keep waiting. And this is what you need to search for. You need to search for truth and love. Truth and love, not just truth and not just love. You need to search for the twin graces of God, of truth and love. And I know that may seem a bit abstract to you, but it will be abstract if you try to find truth and love in philosophical understanding of truth and love. It will remain abstract to you when you turn to cultural definitions of truth and love. And dare I say, don't settle even for a religious expression of truth and love. For much of what is deemed religious is more about ourselves than it is about God. But let me offer to you the place where you can find pure truth, honest love. You need to search not for a philosophical construct. You need not to find for a cultural expression. Neither do you need to drop your nets in the pool of religious tradition to find truth and love. But let me offer to you where you need to find it. You need to find a personification of truth and love. You need to find somebody whose life reflects the purity of truth and love. And the only somebody I know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You will discover God and God's assignment for your life only where there is truth and love. And the purest expression of truth and love that I can offer to you is found in Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. The liberator of our souls, Jesus Christ, the definer of our lives, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the hope of all ages, Jesus Christ, the giver of God's peace, Jesus the Christ, the lover of all humanity, Jesus Christ, the deliverer of the captives, Jesus Christ, the savior of the world. Don't try to figure God out because you can't do it. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither are his ways our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, are God's ways above our ways. You never know what God is doing. But I need to remind you of this one thing. Are you listening? You can do all things, hallelujah, through Christ who strengthens you. You can be blessed because of what Christ has done for you in your life. Stay faithful. Stay committed. Stay peaceful. Stay encouraged. And even in those moments of silence, when you don't know what God is doing, cling even closer to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And God will lead you. God will bless you. God will give you the desires of your heart and refresh your soul as you transition through the wilderness to the oasis of your calling. You, my sister and my brother, have an appointment with destiny. And as you remain faithful with God, you will arrive at that place as you walk from faith to faith in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we've done the best we could with presenting your word to the people who you have called to this moment. We ask now that you would take this feeble attempt to make clear, precise, and profound the eternal truths of your glory, and allow for the Holy Spirit to secure these life-changing words into the hearts and the souls of those in need. And then, God, we pray that the power of salvation will manifest itself in the lives of those who need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. Saved by your power, saved by your grace. Edify your church and lift your people in Jesus' name.